Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Merger Splits NRL Show. I'm your host, Lenny Arrowsmith, and wherever you are, at home or in the car, or if you're tuning in for the first time, thank you and welcome. Joining me on the panel for another episode to share our hot takes, tipping mistakes, and opinions that aren't fake, hello, Lachlan McIntyre and Georgie Sumpter. How are you both, and how was your weekend of football?
Hey, Lenny, I'm doing pretty well, thanks. My weekend of football was very proactive, I guess. I travelled down to Wollongong from Sydney on the Friday night for the Dragons game, and then out to Bathurst as well for the Panthers Tigers game on Saturday as a day trip, which was a lot of travel time in a train, but also a lot of fun, and felt good traveling for football as well and seeing a lot of grounds that I really haven't been to that often. So yeah, great weekend of football for me. How are you doing, Georgie?
Hey guys, good. I'm still catching up on my games this week. I've saw a lot of the highlights. Big scores, weren't they?
Definitely some big scores. We'll definitely tuck into that as well. Certainly. We'll just launch straight into it. The show today, as usual, we'll delve into our best and worst performances from the past weekend of play, talk about some of the matches from that round seven, big scores, as you said, Georgie, and some of the news headlines. And at the end, we'll of course share our tips for the round ahead. For everyone, this is coming up. We've got the Anzac round, they call it. The public holiday falls on a Thursday, so I think some lucky people have managed to petition to have the Friday off, which means they have another long weekend. Lucky them. I guess it means that you can tuck into football without work getting in the way. But I think it's also a school holiday, so I expect to see some big crowd turnouts for each of the matches. Well, it's school holidays in New South Wales, that is. Right, guys. Let's reflect on our tips and the games that were played over the round. Just quickly, on our tips, none of us had actually tipped the Dragons this round. And Georgie, you have come out with 6 out of 8. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
Lachlan with a respectable 5 out of 8. And I think my tipping with my heart and a lot of hope is probably why I got 3 out of 8 this past round. So, look, I guess the lesson for me is I'm actually going to perhaps tip with my head this week to try and save myself from my current position, because I'm falling very, very low. Just to give you a really quick sort of tally, currently leading after 7 rounds of football, Georgie, you're on a score of 34. Lachlan, you're on 31. And I'm on 24. So, look, I need to stop going for these upsets and start doing a service to our listeners as well. It was pretty intense round. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who or which team would you say was your best?
For me, it's the Dolphins. I think this game against the Eels was a real danger game for them, especially coming off the loss. And, you know, they were top of the table early on. And then I think I wouldn't have been surprised if the Eels came out and won that game, especially with a bit of momentum behind Parra at the time. And also up in Darwin, I think that just threw a bit of a spanner in the works and could have seen it go either way. I think the Dolphins did a really good job, especially trailing at halftime, to be able to push through in that second half and show that they are the better team and get the job done. I think that's a really impressive result for the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, they had 9 consecutive tries to come back I think they had 1 in the first and then the rest were in the second half. Completely dominated, didn't they? My best, though, were the Sharks. I thought they played outstanding. I love a try and debut, and Sam Stone Street did that right in front of all these little fans and family there, which was really great to see. And Will Kennedy snagging the Paul Green medal. He had a great game. All the fullbacks had a great game. Maybe not so Scotty Drinkwater, but I think most of the others really did step up and have a good game from what I've saw. In the highlights of what I've saw, they've shown that the fullbacks had a crack this week.
Yeah, actually, speaking of fullbacks having a crack, you know, like, absolutely, Lachlan, agree with you, Dolphins. They were definitely up there with my team. But I just wanted to give a shout out to who I think was the best player of the round. That was replacement fullback Jake Fuller for the Dolphins. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. He stepped up and played like he was going for Origin, kind of reminding me of Preston Campbell back in the day. He's not overly huge, but really quite strong for his size. I was very impressed. I know a few people were kind of worried about whether the Dolphins would be able to front up a good fight, considering they had so many outs. And he just, yeah, totally impressed me. Very exciting. I'd say there are a few teams who are looking at, you know, what his contract status is coming up and whether he's someone that they'll get onto their side. So, no, good shouts. I also had here, and it's a bit of humble pie for me, but I think I perhaps have to tip my hat to the Dragons for their win over the New Zealand Warriors. And it's probably reflective of his leadership on the Dally M ladder. I thought the best player for that game was actually Zach Lomax, kind of outstanding. Lachlan, you were there live to see this in action. I'm sure you'll have a few comments about this match.
Well, I think as a Tigers fan, we've got a bit of a bond, the losing teams, I guess. But yeah, that really getting behind Zach Lomax as well, and which is something, I guess Zach Lomax has been a bit of a polarizing player at the Dragons. Consistency, it's not really been his thing. So I think it's exciting for the Dragons fan base to see him, you know, actually pushing for Origin this year and finding his own.
I think when they sort their contract issues out, they seem to play a lot better players. It's not something that's in the background, hanging over them in the back of their head, is it? So you see that happen quite often with players. He's sorted and, yeah, free to play how he wants to, and he's just playing footy. Simple as that. There's nothing fancy about it. Just basic footy.
He actually looks like he's having fun when he's out there playing, which I think is quite nice to see. You know, sometimes you see some players and they're just so focused on the game and you can see to them it's a job, but he loves what he does. So, yeah, it's actually really good to see. All right. So worst or underwhelming team or player for the round, I'll start with you, Georgie. Who have you got on your list?
Well, it's sad to see the Cowboys go from 1-8 real quick, and they're going south really fast. South aren't on the bottom of the table with their bye, so that was a little win for them. And Para, like they played, come out to seem in the first half seemed to be getting it together and, you know, completing their sets, and then nothing. So between those two, they're dropping quite quick out of that top eight.
For me, it'd be the Knights, I reckon. They were pretty feeble against the Doggies, in my opinion. Actually, they averaged less than 30 metres per set, which is pretty rubbish for an NRL side. Also, that game was pretty error-riddled all up. We had 26 between the two teams. The Bulldogs actually had more, but I guess that showed they couldn't really do anything with the ball anyway. So, yeah, pretty disappointing for the Knights.
Look, I kind of alluded to this before, perhaps in me sort of saying that the Dragons played a great game, but look, you know, I know bad performance when I see it. So, yeah, the Warriors were actually disappointing for me than my team. You know, and I apologise. I steered you both wrong. You know, the tie in the previous round was perhaps a little bit of a hint to many about some of the attacking and defending issues that they have. So this is a bit of a reality check for me. Also, the Dragons were just ready for them. And just prior to that, like we all sort of remember that Warriors game against Souths. And, you know, they played so well. So, you know, it could be a case of Souths are just not that good. But, yeah, I think I expected more, way more from the Warriors. Look, the only good player in that team on the day, in my mind, was actually Tohu Harris. But, yes, a lot of rubbish stuff going on. I'm sure, Lachlan, you were probably sitting there shaking your head thinking, who is this team? This is not the team, you know, I thought the Warriors were. And, you know, I even saw a few people on social media saying that they're all fakers. Like, you know, like we're all sort of buying into the Warriors hype. But, you know, I'm going to stick with them. You know, they had a sort of a slow start last year and, you know, they might just be one of those teams that come good toward the middle and back of the season. So, yeah, Warriors for me, unfortunately, in that round. Right. So there have been some NRL stories from this past few days, actually, since yesterday, actually, since the final match of round 7. So let's tuck into a few of the headlines that we've seen. Look, we touched on it before about the Eels going up to Darwin. You know, there has been some, I guess you could say, discussion and commentary about Brad Arthur and some of the decisions he's made with his team. Obviously, they're still feeling the Mitchell Moses absence effects, and he's still trying to work out which players belong in which spots, including who gets to play 80 minutes and who shouldn't necessarily play 80 minutes. I think that's probably one of the comments that have been quite loud from the fan base. But that press conference from Brad Arthur, I've never come across something that was just so passive aggressive. It was almost Ricky Stewart like, in the sense where, you know, they asked him, you know, how he thought about his team's performance. And even though Gutho's sitting right there, he sort of launches into this tirade about how, you know, some players turn up each week and, you know, they really put in their effort. And then you've got other players that just decide to lie down and don't really give it all the effort and sort of hang around the back line. And I just thought, oh, you are angry, Brad. And certainly I've been seeing a lot of fans that are unhappy about this. I mean, Buzz Rothfield even wrote something about it. You know, Ryan Girdler also was reached out for comments on this. It's currently number 14 on the ladder. We've seen hot and cold performances. Look, it's probably just a lot going on at the Eels. But I remember earlier this season, very early on, they were saying, Brad Arthur is the saviour that is going to help the Eels get to the grand final. I guess a question to ask now is, and I'll start with you, Georgie, do you think he really is? And do you think that they are quite likely looking at a grand final? And then also, what do you think they need to change? I know we're all armchair coaches, but I mean, what really needs to change in that team? I mean, for Brad Arthur to A, save his job, or for B, for the fans to sort of get their confidence back in that side?
You need to start dropping players like other clubs do. If they're not turning up, they're not putting it in, then why are they still there? Why are they getting that run when you've got the reserve grade guys busting their butts, trying to get a first grade go, putting in all the effort at training and still not getting a jersey? So why are they still there? Players do need to step up, and there's only so much a coach can do. Players have got to be accountable and take some responsibility for how they're playing and say, yeah, you know, put my hand up, I played terribly. You can see the frustration with Gutho as well. Like, he puts the effort in. I hear he drives from the Northern Beaches out there to Paris. So, yeah, he lives up on the Northern Beaches there somewhere and drives out. So he's committed. But, yeah, drop some players. And, I'd be mad too. But, you know, you have to look at your roster. You have to look who's coming through. And, yeah, what do you reckon, Lachlan?
Yeah, well, I think it's all well and good for Brad to, you know, come out in press conference and say, you know, his players aren't performing consistently. But then if you're going to say that, and we're now quite a decent way into the season, I think it's fair to say, with some pretty consistently poor results from the Eels, well, then I think it's time to give those reserve graders a crack and, I guess, not even put the first graders on notice, but just show that, you know, if you're not going to put the work in, then you're not going to be playing NRL. I think Brad Arthur needs to do that this week. I think he will. I also think that if that doesn't yield any results, that he should be looking elsewhere for coaching. Brad Arthur's been at Parramatta for a very long time. And if he's not getting consistent results from the playing group, where we can see how good they can be on their good days, but it's important for coaches to be able to get players up for every single game. Obviously, burden lies on the players as well. But, I think expect some more discussion around Brad Arthur's position as coach at Para.
He was on your list, Lachlan, as the coach that might be seeing an early exit this season. I feel like Brad Arthur and Jason Demetriou are the two coaches that are in the headlights here, or the crosshairs perhaps by the board and by the fans. I'd say all of that outside noise is perhaps not even helping, because I wonder how many of the team members are also just reading and listening to what the fans, you know, are saying, and it's perhaps just sort of affecting their, I don't know, their confidence, their trust in him as a coach. And I also just worry about the depth of that team. Like, as you said, Georgie, I mean, like, obviously they've got some team, like some players that need to be let, you know, start blooding some of those players, bring them up through the ranks. But, you know, maybe Brad's just been holding off a bit. I think he's been holding off also bringing, is it Matt Arthur, his son, in? Because after everything that sort of happened with his son last year, I think he's sort of trying to balance the fan, you know, uproar and, you know, the decision as a coach and a father. I don't know, but yeah, I can't imagine he's going to be sleeping very well, but the dynamics in the locker room must be difficult.
I do think Brad Arthur would be hopefully a bit more professional than to let that impact on him. I mean, he's pretty experienced at this point. Obviously, I think what's happened the past few seasons with Jake would have had an impact on him, maybe subconsciously, but I definitely don't think it would have any conscious impact on whether or not, you know, his other son is good enough to be in that first 17 or not.
Yeah, maybe it's just he's stale, and they need a shake up. Like we said, he's been there. What's he been there? 8 years, something like that.
Thereabouts.
And how many finals? How many? One grand final, and they lost. It's not going to happen this year. So yeah, he's really. I think he's Lachlan and Gab might be right that he's on the chopping block.
He's been there since 2013 as head coach.
So 11 years. Wowee. Yeah,
that is a long time. Absolutely. Long time and one grand final appearance. I'd say
things could change.
That's true. Good luck to you, Brad. I hope you get some sleep tonight, and to the rest of the fan base, be patient, be calm. You know, Moses is a while away, so things may change around for you. All right. Thank you both. We're into the sin bin silliness now. There's a little bit of sin binning stuff that happened in the past round. I think the first one that's kind of the most popular at the moment is the 3 minutes remaining of play in the Canterbury Bulldogs Newcastle Knights match. I think it was yesterday. So on Sunday. Over the round. Anyway, and the score was 36-6 was the final score to the Bulldogs. And there was a double sin bin with Jack Hetherington and Reid Marnie. Now, I don't know if the two of you have had a chance to watch this, but everyone's been writing about it this morning. Thoughts on this? I mean, it was a bit of a bust up on the field. And then it kind of, they both got sent off because it was really just appalling behaviour from the two of them going at each other. And then as they sort of made their way down the tunnel and the camera crew just happened to catch as Reid was making his way down, you know, Jack Hetherington sort of like standing at the end, shaping up and bouncing around, and then proceeds to, I think, punch him in the chest. It's hard to tell whether this is like serious or in jest, but look, these guys are professionals. What are your thoughts on this, Lachlan? I mean, do we expect better from these guys, and should they just like enjoy the last 3 minutes, you know, of the match in the changing rooms and just forget about it and cool off?
I'm sorry, I just find this so funny. I think the referee had just, firstly, I think the sin bin's completely justified. There's 3 minutes to go. There was no need to be in that niggle. I think it was Reid Marnie instigating it really on field, and then Hetherington kind of getting a bit offended by that, especially with the Bulldogs up by so much, which I can understand. Sin bin's justified. And it was just a regular push and shove on field, as happens in every single game. So I don't think there's anything much to see there. The off-field stuff in the tunnel is just odd to me. I don't know what's going through their heads. I think probably there should be a bit more onus on the club officials there to keep them apart. I mean, because it could have been worse, I guess, if there was a player who actively, like, really did want to get into it in a tunnel, and you're walking off together, then that wouldn't be good. But I was good to see club officials get in the way anyway. But I don't think it would have gone very serious, to be honest. There was a bit of anger there and a bit of resentment, but yeah, it just looks a bit stupid. That's pretty much it for me, at least.
Yeah, it looked like he, Hetherington up the tunnel, was just having a bit of a play, but Reid didn't see it that way. That's how it appears. We don't know if there's anything off field between these two, do we? So it was just silly wrestling stuff on the field, was it? Me personally, penalty is sufficient. I mean, there was no punching, it was just a play wrestle. I don't think it's a sin binning. So Hetherington's got a match ban from it, and Reid Marnie's got $1,000 fine. So
really? I did not know that. Sorry. Coming into that. Okay. I think those are both unjustified. Okay. That's my
Absolutely. So yeah, early guilty plea. One week he got for it. And $1,000 from Reid. So why aren't they both getting 1 week or $1,000? Why isn't it the same punishment? It's just ludicrous is what it is.
It is bizarre. I remember sort of in the press conference, they asked each of the coaches what their thoughts were. And I think both of them have that, what are you talking about, sort of response on their faces. Don't know anything about that. I don't know. It's kind of bizarre. It looked like they were playing around to me. So this is, again, very strange. Oh, well, that's what you get for mucking around. You get penalised and you miss a week of footy. Jesus. All right. Well, there were other Simbin things that sort of went up. There was the Panthers versus Tigers match in Bathurst. Now, you were there, Lachlan. No Simbin for Brad Schneider, who tripped Justin Ollam, who was without the ball, thus preventing what could have been a pass from the outside to him for a try. We heard Benji Marshall saying that it's a professional foul and therefore it should have been a sin bin, but this was completely overlooked. And I think I actually recall Benji saying that, you know, it would have been great for us to score some more points with one less man on the field. Do you think, and like I know Graham Ainslie is probably going to be, I guess you could say, explaining this again for Benji and friends, but I know I talk about this quite a lot, but we, again, this is something that seems quite obvious. Why was it not picked up? Is this another case of the action was too fast, or no one really knew, like no one thought it was as serious as it was? The bunker could have intervened and said something like they kind of have previously but opted not to this time. What are your thoughts about this? What do you reckon, Lachlan? You were there.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. I've not watched the TV coverage, by the way, but I was standing on the far side of the ground, a very, very small ground with a very small hill being in Bathurst, and I could see maybe 90% of the field, but a very, you know, they had corners where I couldn't really see, and, you know, just like in that hill, suburban ground type vibe, regional ground, I guess. And as that break happened, I could see, like, it was obvious to me just watching that play to see exactly what happened from upwards of 100 metres away. I don't understand how as referees you don't see the player go down and then look behind and see what happened. The fact that would have been play on if the referee hadn't blown a penalty to Penrith makes it even worse for me. I think it was just human error. It just happened that none of the three refs were looking at that particular moment. I think it was pretty hard to miss, in my opinion.
Yep.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but going on what you guys have said, and previously listening to Graham Ennersley's explanations, and he's played videos where the bunker is talking to the refs and the touches are talking to each other. So why wasn't that picked up? Really, it's with all of those cameras, with all of that technology, with all of those eyes, and you 100 metres away watching it live like you were, crazy.
Because they did eventually get to the right, they realised what had happened with the health, the captain's challenge, and blew the penalty. I don't understand how that isn't a sin bin. That's just black and white in the rules.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know we've talked in the past about the grey areas and then there's the black and white. I think this one was probably quite clearly what should have been a sin bin. I mean, the match officials were Wyatt Raymond, and then touch judges were Chris Sutton, Matt Noyan, and then senior review officer was Grant Atkins. Now, I've seen these guys. They are pretty fit. They can get around. They can actually keep up with the speed of play. I know it's Panthers, and Panthers, you know, are quick, but they were actually keeping up with the action. So it's still a surprise to me that three sets of eyeballs on the field missed this. Because I looked into this out of my own curiosity. Match officials make nearly $200,000 to $300,000 a year as a salary. Okay, that is more than some of the players are getting on the field. And they're not putting their bodies through the same sort of impact and, you know, strength and conditioning. I mean, is it too much to expect that they can at least get the basic fundamental of their job right to ensure that they're keeping up with the rules and the play. Look, Lachlan, I can see you looking at me. You probably have something to say about this. But, I mean, that's an awful lot of money for someone who's not putting their body on the line and getting concussions and all sorts each week. I mean, I'd expect that they would do a better job, or that the bunker would use their technology and be a lot more thoughtful about this, because it really is deciding the momentum and the outcome of games. And I think I've just been watching so long now, I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. I will say, I think the referee system with game dropped down to reserve grade does happen quite regularly. We see a mistake and then end up either on the touchline or down in reserve grade. Whether that was a big enough mistake, I don't know. But yeah, I guess on the referee's pay, I mean, they don't put their bodies on the line, but they tarnish their name to within an inch of itself. Like every time I hear, or any NRL fan hears the name of any referee, they go, "Ooh, what an absolute stupid person," pretty much, with some more swear words in there. So yeah, I wouldn't be an NRL referee for 500 grand a year. I'll just say that. So I do have utmost respect for them, even if they miss some decision.
Yeah, all right. We'll let them off. anyway. All right. So the other one that I wanted us to talk about, look, Dolphins, we touched on the great success they had there at the top of the table not too long ago. So now that the Cowboys have bowed out, they were considered to be the Queensland team that was going to be, you know, fronting up to Las Vegas for the 2025 campaign and round one next year. But yeah, the Dolphins have actually emerged as the front runner for Vegas, which is kind of shocking that the Cowboys have ducked out. But you know, they were the Cowboys were the preferred, but you know, recent news is that Dolphin CEO Terry Reader, he traveled to Las Vegas last month on a fact-finding mission, which was actually enough for him to declare their interest for the 2025 Vegas trip. Question for you, Lachlan, because you know, you saw the Dolphins' first match, and you know, we're all getting excited about Vegas. What are your thoughts? Are you happy to see the Dolphins get there? I mean, they're a fairly new team; it's only their second year.
Yeah, cool. Good on them. I hope it helps them out financially. I don't think they need much help financially, to be honest. They've got a heap of money. But, yeah, certainly will raise their profile. Yeah, not too much to say about that, to be honest. I think they're a good brand to have in the US. The Dolphins, I don't know. Miami Dolphins comes to mind for me straight away. Yeah, I probably would have preferred the Cowboys, to be honest. But yeah, Dolphins, very sad.
Well, considering how they're both playing and how they're both tracking, I'm not surprised by this. I didn't know about it until you shared that article, Lainey. But yeah, if the Cowboys are just going to keep going all the way down the ladder, would you want to front up for round one next year in Vegas off the back of a terrible season? And if the Dolphins are tracking as well as they are, and I can, you know, I did think they were having a lull coming into this week, but as you pointed out, their fullback really stepped up. So why not? Why not give a new team a go like that? And, you know, Brisbane went last year. Maybe the Cowboys will have a good year next year and they can go the year after.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, all right. So just for everyone, apparently Penrith are guaranteed a spot to go. So they're the other team that's going along. I also see here that the New Zealand Warriors and the Newcastle Knights are also talked about in contention to go along. Canberra's thinking about it. So yet to see who the other team's going to be going, but quite exciting. Vegas, it's going to become a thing. I can't wait. It's 2025.
Let's get through this year.
Would love to go. Yeah, true. Got a long way to go still.
Let's work on some sponsorship options to send us there and cover the round one for season.
I'm in.
If you want to send us over there to cover it live, get in contact with Mojo Sports if you have some deep pockets. That's our little plug.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, guys, look, we've spent a bit of time on headlines, so let's just get straight into our tips for the round eight matches. Okay, so also let me know which match you think is going to be the one to watch for the round. Like I said earlier, I'll be tipping with my head, not so much my heart this week. Not so much, I said. So, there'll probably be moments where probably as you talk and I talk, and then I manage to convince myself, as I always do, to go for what my heart wants rather than what my brain says that I should go for. But for this coming week of football, so, matches are on Anzac Day. So we usually see some great fanfare and honouring of the fallen heroes from the various, battles over history. And the Defence Force usually turn up and partner really quite well with the NRL to memorialise the fallen. The bye this week goes to the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs, they played a great game this last round. So they came away with, geez, I think it was probably the stunning win, really, over the Knights we touched on before, 36 to 12. So they get the week off, time to probably just sit back and enjoy some of the Anzac Day celebrations, as well as to watch some of these matches. But Cameron Serrato is, I think, definitely quite pleased about the way his team performed, and especially against the Knights, considering their last sort of matchup I touched on last week was like a 66-0 loss to the Knights last season. So I think that was a bit of a redemption, or not redemption, a revenge match for them. And I'm sure they're happy with that and will be celebrating that probably still into this week. So for round eight, first match of the round. This is the New Zealand Warriors. They'll be at home at Mount Smart Stadium, and they'll be hosting the Gold Coast Titans. So they'll be on Thursday at 2 o'clock. This is an afternoon match. I think Warriors fullback Chance Nukeklokstad will be making his 100th NRL appearance for this. So maybe it's something the Warriors to cheer about. But the Titans will actually be turning up hoping for a win, because they still haven't been able to find a victory so far since the season has started. Look, I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you tipping for this match, and what is your margin?
Well, the Titans did have a little bit of fight in them with Manly, which is promising. But I'm still going the Warriors plus six. And the other news is for the Warriors, a big signing of James Fisher-Harris going over next year, and the way he played. So that's a good sign for the Wars. But yeah, Warriors by six.
James Fisher-Harris, massive deal. I'll also go the Warriors. I'll go by 10. I think the Titans, they've had a few heartbreakers recently. And they're getting closer to that first win, but I think the Warriors back at home, I think they would have learnt a bit from last week. I don't think they're going to go into a slump because of it. I think they'll be able to learn from it and bounce back and be able to get the job done. So, Warriors by 10.
I'm going to go for Warriors as well. I'm going to say by four, though, because sometimes I'm just never convinced with that side. I love them, but yeah, there are moments that I watch them and I think, okay, you're either doing not enough to hold on to the lead, or you're also not doing enough to ensure that this team can't come back. I don't know. So it's honestly a bit of a roller coaster ride sometimes. The Warriors was like that last year for me. Like, there were just really small margins that made a difference. But yeah, that's why I'm saying four. Hopefully they can get the win to help sort of chance celebrate that 100th NRL milestone. Although, yeah, like you said, Georgie, my heart broke for the Titans. I really, really wanted them to get that win. That's why I tipped them last week. But I'm sorry, Titans, I'm not tipping you this week. This is my team. So, and like other things too, like the Titans have actually won three of their past four games against the Warriors. I had wondered that as well, but the travel over there, I don't think will help them at all. So the next match that we've got, which I think could actually be the match of the round, it's between the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and they are hosting the Sydney City Roosters on Thursday at 4:05 p.m. It's over at Moore Park in Sydney. I'll start with you, Georgie. This is interesting. So Dragons have just come off a win. Roosters, unfortunately, just a marginal loss against the Melbourne Storm in the last round. Do you think the Roosters can cut it? I mean, it is their home turf for this match. And
Yeah,
what's the
it is.
margin?
But I don't think they can. listening to Trent Robinson, like there's still I still think there's something going on there. Like some of the players are playing very well and some of the players are playing very badly, and that's just not clicking. A bit clunky, the Roosters for me. So I'm going the Dragons by four, and I'm hoping they can back it up from last week, because I really think they're used to Flano now and his coaching ways. I think that's what's happening down there. And like we talked about before, Zach Lomax is playing happy, and that can, you know, players like that, a senior player, has effect on everyone else around them, and they all enjoy it. So, yep, Dragons by four for me.
Yeah, I mean, on the Dragons too. I think they usually perform very well in the Anzac Day games, even if they don't end up getting the win. They're always close, these ones, always cracking games. I think the Dragons, yeah, back-to-back wins now. You know, they haven't actually been terrible this year. I have to say that. Like, there's been some bad performances, there's been some good ones, and we've seen that from a lot of teams. So I think it is hard to pick, judging by how inconsistent pretty much every team in the NRL is right now. But I will go the Dragons, and I'll go by two.
Two. Oh, look, I had two as well. And I also was going for the Dragons. Kind of interesting to see the Dragons have actually won one more game than the Roosters have this so far this season. So, you know, they're kind of 50-50 on the completion rates and the tackle efficiency, but the Dragons are actually looking quite impressive. And yeah, I have a feeling they're going to roll on. So yeah, I'm with you guys, Dragons. All right, next matchup. So we've got the Melbourne Storm later that evening, also on Anzac Day. So that's three matches that we've got on Thursday. We've got the Melbourne Storm hosting the South Sydney Rabbitohs. This is Thursday evening at 7:50. It is down in Melbourne, so we all know what sort of reputation the Storm have in front of their home crowd. Rabbitohs are returning from the bye. Could be a slow start. It was actually nice to not hear so much about them in the past week. They're also no longer, as you said, Georgie, at the bottom of the table. Well, the Titans have got that spot. Start with you, Lachlan. Who are you calling for this match, and what is the margin?
I don't think the Storm dropped these ones ever. Storm by 16. I think the Souths will. I don't think the week off would have helped them, to be honest. I don't have too much to say. I think Storm are the better side, and there's heaps of problems at the Bunnies. Storm have three on the trot. I don't see why the Bunnies can stop that. What about you, Georgie?
Well, I did say that David Ferner's come back under the coaching staff for the Rabbits, so he might have a bit to say and a bit of a shake-up. And they need to actually sort out their positioning, who they've got, where they've got. Stop talking about it. Just do it. But coming off a bye, going to Melbourne, and how Melbourne are playing, there's no way I can see the Bunnies winning this. And I've got them 13 plus. I think that the Storm will just storm on home, well and truly. Yeah.
Well, I think in terms of fitness, Storm are kind of looking a lot better as well on the field in terms of like attack and defence versus Souths. Okay. Well, I'm definitely with the two of you. I've actually said it's a margin of about eight, only because, you know, sometimes Souths in the kind of final 10 minutes decide they're actually going to start scoring some tries. Often what they do, it's like they look up at the scoreboard and think, oh no, we've got to actually get some tries here. But I think if anything, the Storm have sort of shown they're really good at snatching away any hope that the opposition had that they would actually get the win. You know, if Xavier Coates is still playing the way he might be the guy to do it. So, yeah, I'm definitely going with the Storm for that. All right, so we're on to Friday at the 8 o'clock match. And we only have one match on the Friday, I believe, only one match. Manly Warringah Sea Eagles will be hosting the Parramatta Eels over at Brookvale Oval. I think this match is going to be quite interesting. Sea Eagles, you know, they're showing, you know, like they're building quite well. I know they had that little bit of a blip at the start of the season with a few losses. It feels like the Sea Eagles and the Eels played not all that long ago. Maybe I'm just misremembering here, but I just seem to have this memory that it was that long ago that they played. However, they'll be fronting up on this Friday. I'm sure they'll get great viewership considering a lot of us are having our Friday off. Yeah, it's true. I've just seen it here. They played earlier this year, actually just last month, the Parramatta Eels defeated the Sea Eagles at their last matchup, which I think was over in Parramatta. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you thinking is going to be the winner out of this particular match? And what do you think the margin will be?
I think it'll be turned around. I think Manly, how they've been playing, will come out. I've actually got Manly plus 12. The Eels seem to have a good first half and then die on the backside. So maybe it'd be closer than that. But, Daly Cherry Evans, the Trbojevic's, they're just on a roll.
I agree. I'm going to go Manly as well. I do think Parra will give them a bit of a run for their money, I guess. I'm gonna go Manly by 4. I think Parra will stay in it right to the end, but I think Manly just, they've had a few close ones past 2 weeks. Of course, the draw in there. I think they'll be strong enough to weather the changes in momentum and be able to hold off the Eels.
Agree with you both. I think it's going to be a Manly win. I've actually only given it a margin of 4, only because I don't know what sort of fire Brad Arthur's known to sort of throw at these guys after a poor performance, because I think it was like the Canberra game in which they got beaten and then they sort of came back the week after, probably after being told off, and improved their performance. I don't know whether it's going to be the same for this, which is the reason why I've given it the margin I have, but good luck, Eels, and also good luck, Brad Arthur, for that match. Right, we have the West Tigers. So that is the Saturday match. It's at 5:30. It's over in Campbelltown Stadium. They will be hosting the Brisbane Broncos. Now, Lachlan, there were a few ball handling errors from the Tigers, or perhaps just passes that found no hands in the past match. The building, they look like they may need to build more. I think Junior Tupou was out injured. There's a Broncos team pulling out some big scores. Who are you tipping and what's your margin?
I'll tip the Broncos. I'll go by maybe 16 or so, 3 tries or so. I think the Tigers are just, they're lacking on paper now as well. I think our outside backs just, they're not of NRL standard at the moment, especially with Tupou injured. And Tupou had a shocker of a game as well against Penrith before that injury. Yeah, Brisbane by 16.
I've got them for 13 plus. It might be a bit more than that, but hopefully it's a good game. The Tigers are due to have a bit of a crack. They seem to, they are, Lachlan. They seem to go in a pattern of, you know, a couple of losses, a couple of wins, and yeah, it is a roller coaster for you too and your team.
Yeah, I do. Brisbane had that weird period where they just weren't winning games, and I think the game before that would have been where we absolutely whacked them by like 60 and it was massive news. It was like our biggest scoreline in ages. I do remember that win. But that was also only, that was only 2 games ago. We've only played once since then.
Yeah. So yeah, the Broncos have won their past 7 games at Campbelltown. So yeah, this could be it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's an odd one. But just also, a quick fact that the West Tigers was and Brisbane Broncos. Because it was the West Tigers' first game as the West Tigers back in whenever that was, 2000, 2001. I should probably know that. It was a draw in the first Tigers game.
Well, the Tigers have actually lost 9 times their past 9 games at Campbelltown. So, you know, this is probably a little bit more lucky a venue for the Broncos than it is for the Tigers. Look, I think we're all probably backing the right team here. So we're all Broncos. It'll be interesting to see if there's any funny business that comes out of this match. But I do actually expect it to be quite clean. Should be an interesting match. I am going to sit down and watch this one because I am having a long weekend. I'm saying 4 points because there's that little bit of heart in me that thinks that the Tigers will come round. But, you know. All right, so also on Saturday for the 7:35 match, the North Queensland Cowboys will be hosting up in Townsville the Penrith Panthers. Now, I think the crowd may help the Cowboys up in Townsville. The Panthers are travelling again, so, I mean, they were just in Tamworth. They'll be heading up to beautiful Townsville. Cowboys, they were unbeaten at the top of the table. Yeah, now the number 8 on the ladder. Like you said, Georgie, it's a bit of a slump. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you tipping for this match? And what do you think the margin's going to be?
Penrith come from Bathurst, not Tamworth.
Oh, sorry, Pep. Yes, thank you.
It's a long week, this one, for you, isn't it, mate?
It is, it is. Thank you. So, yeah, they're coming from Bathurst.
So, yeah, I still think Panthers by 12. The Cowboys need to bounce back after, I mean, last week was pretty disgraceful for a team. And they really need that crowd at home to get behind them. Hopefully it's a bit humid for Penrith. But, yeah, still Penrith by 12.
Yeah, I agree. I think Penrith by, I'll say 16. Again, I'm saying that a lot, aren't I? Yeah, Penrith can get the job done still. Like, they went down early to the Tigers and they just had a few calls go their way and they were able to really use it and get on top of the wrestle. And I think they may need to do that early on just to quash the Cowboys, but once they do, that'll be fine.
I think the Cowboys are going to try and put up a fight here in front of their home team, like in front of their home crowd. I don't ever think that the humidity ever works well for the Panthers. I remember there was that match last year where it was probably around Origin season when Panthers had gone up to Townsville and you could see they just were not coping with the heat and it was an evening game. It's still warm-ish up north. So, look, I am going to go for the Panthers for this. I'm not going to go for the Cowboys. This is typical head thinking tipping here, but I think the margin's probably going to be around 10. I don't think it will get too much higher than that. And I think I heard Dylan Edwards, you know, is possibly out. I mean, like, he was sort of hobbling off the field at one point, so I don't know, only because I know how effective he is. Him missing might be a bit of a difference to the side. I don't know. But I can say from watching that Tigers match, Lachlan, I did notice how much the Panthers are really missing Cleary's kicking game as well. I don't know if anyone else had thought that too. Just I think in terms of the speed of when they make their points and just sort of getting there. I mean, I am just sort of noticing the absence of Cleary and the way they're playing.
He's due back this round, isn't he? This round or next round? Cleary? Ooh.
I think he was officially due back last week against the Tigers. And we haven't really gotten an update since he's not been named then. So I could be any time now, I guess.
Okay. Well, if he's playing, then I guess they're definitely going to win.
Well, if Edwards is out, I think they'll name
him. Okay. So the next match that we've got, it's on Sunday, so we've got two matches left. The Dolphins will be hosting the Newcastle Knights. This is going to be over at Ling Park. It's the Sunday game. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is the best time to watch football, by the way. Look, we heard that likely Ponga is going to be out with an injury, and the Knights, you know, we've seen that whenever he's not quite 100% and he's missing, whether it be in action or like from the team lineup, you know, they really rely on him. I'm also really interested to see what they're going to be doing with the halves, because they tend to change them around. Dolphins came off this big win last round. Knights, unfortunately, weren't able to get the win. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you calling for this match? I know it's the Dolphins, your other team, and I know I say that quite a lot, but they're also my soft spot team too. Who are you calling for this? Because it's in Brisbane in front of, you know, probably a big home crowd. What's the margin and who's going to win?
Yeah, I reckon the Dolphins will get this done for me. I think coincidentally, this is actually the battle between the team I put best from last round versus the team I put worst from last round, Dolphins and Knights. I think Dolphins will be too good in front of their home fans. The Knights really disappointed me last week, and the Dolphins showed that they've got quite a bit of grit and able to get the job done even when it's tough, which is something they really lacked last year. So I'm going to go Dolphins by 8. How about you, Georgie?
Well, I've got the Dolphins by 20 because the Knights do struggle without Ponga, and it is a fracture in his foot, so he's out for months. It hasn't actually given the timeline, but it's going to be a few months. So maybe, you know, 3, which will take him to the end of the year. So the Knights will struggle without him. They need to bring Jack Cogger back in. I watched him play the reserve grade game beforehand and he played outstanding. Like, he really had a good game. There's a few players in the Knights that they could bring through, young fellas. And on that game, they actually had like Jake Turpin and, you know, a few first grade players, Toby Sexton, and they're all from the Bulldogs, of course. But he's these first grade players changing clubs and playing reserve grade. Like, It's a fall, isn't it? What's going on? Are these players regretting that? Because they are playing well. So why aren't they getting a go in first grade? I want to know. When a lot of the first grade clubs are struggling, but that's a whole different story. Dolphins by 20. And like you said, big crowd there in Brisbane.
I was going to say, I mean, like the Dolphins score on average, apparently about 28 points per game. So, I mean, and also they've won, I think, 4 out of 5 of their past games, which is actually pretty good. So, and the Knights have only won 3 of their past 10 games without Kalen Ponga. So, you know, based on everything that you're all saying, this sounds like a Dolphins win. I actually think this is going to be around about 30 points because it's that big Brisbane crowd. And I feel like they're getting a bit of a roll on the Dolphins. And I think Knights are in big trouble. I think they're in big trouble for sure. Look, kind of remiss of me to not say also Jacob Saifidi will be making his 150th NRL appearance. So, that you know, the Knights might be doing something to try and, you know, help get a win to give them something more to celebrate. But I think a lot of them would be quite disheartened at the fact that they've lost Kalen. Maybe I'm not sure who they're going to put into the fullback position. I'm not sure who that is, but look, maybe some of the halves that they're sort of swapping in and out, they might decide to put in the halfback role. I don't know. We'll see. That's a we'll see sort of outcome, but highly unlikely. All right, and then the final match for the round, we have the Canberra Raiders who will be hosting the Cronulla Sharks. This is on Sunday at 4:05 p.m. down in Canberra. So it'll be a little bit cooler than the beachside weather the Sharks are used to over there. Jamal Fogarty is apparently injured for the Raiders. So I think 12 weeks he's going to be missing, as you said, Georgie, which is, I think, a huge loss for them. Massive loss. Look, I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you thinking? No, I'll start with you, Georgie. Who do you think is going to win this match? And what is the margin that you're predicting?
Yeah, I think Sharks 20 plus. Fogarty not there kicking and being calm and directing that team around is a big loss for the Raiders, and they'll feel that. And the Sharks are on top. They're playing well. There doesn't seem to be any beefs down there. They're just all getting on with the job and everyone's getting on and it's all working, and that's how teams become successful. What do you think, Lachlan?
Yeah, I agree. Sharks 20 plus. I think they're flying crazily under the radar. They're playing some great footy, getting some great results, and they're first for a reason. They did have that one hiccup against the Tigers, which I think made a few people write them off a few weeks ago. But yeah, I think they're going to be there come season's end, there or thereabouts, and I think they'll get the job done against a Jamal Fogarty-less Raiders. So, yeah.
I'm going to go for the Sharks. There's a little bit of my heart that wants to go for the Raiders because the Sharks don't always play well away from their home, like their home stadium. I find that whenever they travel away, I don't know, maybe it's just the crowd, it becomes a bit too much. But yeah, I'm going to say the Sharks, but I'm going to say it's going to be a small margin because Ricky, I don't know, might be getting his guys to push a little bit harder. But yeah, I think it's only going to be about 8 points difference. Oh, geez. Well, that's our show. Thank you both for your contributions, Lachlan and Georgie. Always a pleasure. Really appreciate your input. And best of luck to us with our tips, seeing as we're all sided the same way this week.
Yeah, thanks so much, Lainey, Georgie.
Thanks, guys.
No worries. And thank you, listeners. If you're going to any of the matches, be safe. Take care and have fun. We appreciate you tuning in and we will catch you all next week. And thanks for joining us again on the Mojo Sports NRL show. Enjoy your Anzac celebrations and take care of yourself and each other.